Well, guys, we're still in the book of John. Thank you for being here today. What, y'all couldn't find a place to go? I said, Sandra, you going to be back? No, I'm taking the whole week off. I'm like, good. No, I'm just kidding. I think of the 4th of July kind of like my daughter Lena's birth month. She doesn't have a birthday. She has a birth month, and it just starts celebrating. It just keeps going and going and going. And last night, you know, they were shooting fireworks all night, and it'll go on tonight. It'll go on Monday night, probably, since that's the actual 4th. I don't know. And I live in one place in Jonesboro where when you hear it, sometimes you're not sure if they're shooting guns or if they're shooting fireworks. So I didn't see any bodies this morning, so we're okay. Anyway, most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking in John chapter 6, so go ahead and open up your Bibles or turn your cell phones or iPads to John chapter 6. This is a familiar story. This is found one of the only times that John actually talks about one of the miracles or something that has happened in the other Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tend to tell all of these miracles that Jesus done. John stays away from a lot of those. But this is one, this story is in all of them. And I had an opportunity when I went to Israel to go up on the mountainside where they believe this is where he spoke to the 5,000, 5,000 men. You know, there were women and children there too. But it's this big grassy slope, and as you get to the top and you overlook the Sea of Galilee, it's just a beautiful setting, and we're going to find out a little bit. Now, again, this is a familiar story to all of us, but I want to see if I can dig out some pearls of wisdom in there for us to consider today. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The first thing that we see that's happening here is Jesus is taking a respite. Jesus is trying to get away. Jesus has been busy doing the Jesus thing, right? Talking, sharing, showing people what the kingdom of God is like, introducing people to what the, my Father's kingdom is like this. He is meeting people one-on-one. He is healing. He is doing all of these things, and he still needs time away. Now, he's God, and he needs a break. So imagine in our hectic, crazy lives. That's why we have the Sabbath. It's like, stop, slow down. What is it? Slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make the morning last. Never mind. Anyway, that's my ADD. It kicks in. But the idea is Jesus needed a break. Jesus is trying to get away. And so the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, it's all the same thing. It's you could see from one side to the other, you know, way across. You see the mountains in the background over here. You see the city of Tiberias way over here. You see Capernaum, like, kind of on this area over here. And then now on this mountain, on this hillside, he's going to get away. In fact, in the other Gospels, in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9, it says he went away to a deserted place, or he came away to a deserted place, or he went alone to a deserted place. Now, John doesn't break it down like that. John just says, hey, you know, he's just going away. A large crowd was coming, so he went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. But the idea is, I need to breathe. I need to breathe. And so Jesus goes up on the mountain. We keep going on. Let's find out what happens here. Verse 4. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. That's the largest of the Jewish festivals, Passover. It celebrates when Moses came and took his people out, took God's people out of Egypt. And so this is a big celebration. So we know that during these times of celebration, especially during Passover, there would have been a huge, huge crowd. In fact, this crowd was following him because now he's done these miracles, and they're saying, like, hey, we need to follow this guy. We need to check this guy out. In fact, later on, we're going to see it says, when the people see the signs that he has done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. In other words, we're checking him out. Is this the guy we think it is? Because we want to follow him. So they're coming along, Passover time of year, which is also like a spring over there, so the grass isn't burned. Now, I tell you, down close to the Sea of Galilee, in that area when the sun hits, it's like a desert in a lot of places. It's beautiful, lush, and green if you go at the right time of year. But if not, the grass is burned up, and there's, you know, it's not very comfortable. But here Jesus is sitting on a beautiful mountain, lots of grass. Okay, verses 5 through, let's go 5 through 7. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered to him, well, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to even get a little. So let's picture out what's happening here now. There's this a problem is coming up. You know, there's thousands more people in this area now because of the Passover. They're coming from everywhere to celebrate. They're going after this Jesus to find out, who is he? He's healing. Is he the prophet we're looking for? Is he the Messiah that was promised to us that we have been studying in the Old Testament? Who is this? And so they're coming, and there's this large crowd, and Jesus sees this large crowd. Again, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it doesn't say that he looks at them and says, hey, what are we going to feed them? What he does, he looks at them and the disciples say, we don't have enough food and stuff to feed them. Send them away. All three of the other gospels say, send them away, send them away, send them away so that they can get something to eat. And in fact, in those Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus looks at them and says, no, don't worry about that. You feed them. You feed them. Philip, we don't know if he's the treasurer, you know, but he's looking at it, says we have 200 denarii, and that's 200 day wages. Okay, that sounds like a lot, except you're feeding 5,000 men, countless women and children. I've seen estimates range anywhere from 20,000, 15,000. You know, there were at least 5,000 men, that's all they counted, but there were women, and we know that there were children there because there's a prominent player coming up in just a moment, who's a young boy. And so 200 days worth of wages is not going to buy enough bread to feed this crowd. And that's what he says. He says there won't even be enough to get a little. So Jesus is going to adapt to the situation. And Philip counts the cash. But then he looks at Andrew, and Andrew counted the goods. And here's what Andrew has to say. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And that's the question, what are they for so many? You know, Philip looked at the money, said it's not enough. Andrew says, hey, I found, you know, 5 barley loaves, which are small loaves. The poor ate the barley loaves. And so it was really, and the 2 fish, they're thinking it's kind of like almost like sardines. I mean, it's just like a little boy's lunch. 5 little loaves, a little little bit of fish, 2 things of fish. And Andrew says the same thing that Philip does. He goes, what good is that? It's not enough. But Jesus has a plan. Jesus is planning a miracle. Think about some of the other miracles that he's done so far in the book of John. He turned the water to wine at the wedding feast in Cana. He healed the official's son. There was a miracle of healing the invalid at the pool of Bethesda. And now he's going to multiply the loaves and the fish. I love what Jesus says in verse 10. Look, it says this. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. In other words, he's saying, you know what? They've been traveling a while. Just have them sit down. Get ready to see God at work. Get ready. So he has them sit down. There's grass on the hillside. It's cool. Got a beautiful view of over top of the Sea of Galilee. It's just beautiful. And Jesus very calmly says, hey, have the people sit down. Then we see in verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. In other words, Jesus holds up the five loaves. He holds up the two fish, and there's so much that everybody can have all that they want. All the bread they want, all of the fish they want. They can eat till they are filled. In fact, there's a lot left over. 12 baskets full. And he says, don't let it go to waste. You gather up what is left. John tells us that the crowd was about 5,000 again, 5,000 men. And they're thinking like, is this the prophet, this miracle? Look at the things that he's done. Now we go back to Deuteronomy where Moses said to the people, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet just like me from among you. And it is him that you should listen to. So Moses was setting the stage for Jesus to be this prophet. And for them, they are saying like, you know what? He is the prophet. Look at this miracle that he's done, that he is feeding us. And again, nothing is wasted. And that's the way Jesus worked, that nothing is wasted. Every moment, every tear, every thing that we go through, there is a purpose, there is a promise, and because of that, nothing is ever wasted. But what happens? Let's go on with the rest of the story. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Now Jesus, perceiving then that they were to come and take him by force to make him their king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. In other words, I'm not the king that you're looking for. You're looking for someone that wants to just kind of make sure you're fed. You want to someone to come and remove this oppression Rome has over you. You're looking for someone that could just on the, you know, just answer your request for whatever miracles or whatever signs that you need. You just want to see this experience, these things happen. Now, Jesus surely was this prophet. He was also, in fact, the king. He's the King of Kings. So the people did perceive him correctly at one point, but they wanted to set Jesus up over an earthly throne, an earthly kingdom. But Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Christ's kingdom is different. In fact, we're going to see in the next couple weeks where he looks at them and goes like, the only reason you're coming is because I'm feeding you. But I'm telling you, I am the bread of life, and that's my flesh. And some people got mad and said like, what are you, like a cannibal or something? We're supposed to eat your flesh. And he's talking about, no, I give my flesh through my death. And that's going to give you life. And it says it was a hard hearing, and at that time, many disciples just went away. And so Jesus is getting ready to say, like, you know, it's not about these signs. It's not about these wonders. It's about me. It's about what I am doing for you. They wanted an earthly deliverer, but Christ doesn't just deliver us here on earth. He is a kingdom deliverer, and he gives us eternal life. So as we look at this story, and it's a familiar story, what do we get out of it? Well, I just want to share this with you. I think of what the boy brought. No one else came prepared. First off, the boy came with his little lunch, right? Five little loaves, two fish, and he comes. And in the scheme of things, 15,000 people maybe, we don't know. But out of all of the people that are there, he's the only one that seems to have brought something. And yet, it's so insignificant that a lot of people would just say, what does that matter? Just get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. But in Jesus' economy, you see what happens? He takes what is insignificant. He takes something that really doesn't mean a lot to anybody, doesn't really mean in the scheme of things, and yet the little bit that he brings, God multiplies that and turns it into something that feeds the crowd. And I think the lesson for us is we bring what we have to God. We bring what we have to God, and he takes it and he multiplies it and he uses it. We bring what we have. God, I don't have much. I don't know all the scripture. And God multiplies that to give us the ability to create situations where we can interact with people, introducing them to a Christ that has done so much in our lives that all we have to do is say, before Jesus, I was this, and after Jesus, this. I'm not a learned man. I'm not any of these things, but I bring what I have to God, and God makes it increase. So what are you hanging on to? And you're thinking, I'm so insignificant. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. I don't have that faith even. And Jesus is saying, you bring what you have. You bring that little bit of faith, and God's going to multiply it. You bring your little bit of gifts, and God multiplies it. We bring our money, and we give our tithes and our gifts and our offering, and it's amazing because we're able to take that and we're able to impact people around the world. You're helping people in Ukraine this morning. You are helping people in Poland this morning. You are helping people in South America and Ecuador this morning. And it's not it's because we're rich or we can do all these things. What happens is we put this faith in this little bit of seed, and God multiplies it and brings it to his glory. That's what we get out of this story. Wow, did he, was everybody just not hungry and two fish and five loaves? Was that just enough to feed, that many people? Was the miracle in all of a sudden there was this increase, or was it something else? It's like you're missing the point. The point is we bring what we have, and Jesus uses it for his glory and turns it into something special. Father, I just pray that as we come to you this morning, that we would offer you the little that we have. Father, it's not our might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. And we know that. And Father, I thank you for lessons like this that can teach us that it's not how much we bring. It's the fact that we bring something and you multiply it and use it. Father, I pray that you would use us in a mighty way to impact not only our homes and our businesses, but Father, our community. I pray, Father, that you would use us to be points of light to people that are living in darkness, that we could offer hope to a world that seems to have lost hope or has put all their faith in the wrong places. And Father, we just thank you for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.